We're reminded that only in retrospect does it seem surprising that there were empty seats in the St. James Theater the night Oklahoma opened on March 31, 1943. After all, no member of the cast could have remotely been called a star. The Theater Guild, which produced it, led principally by a film director, had done only one prior Broadway musical, Porgy and Bess, an artistic success but a financial failure. Richard Rodgers, for the first time in his career, was writing songs with someone other than Lorenz Hart, and no one, including he himself, knew how he would do. Oscar Hammerstein II, meanwhile, had had six Broadway flops in a row. The smart money certainly wasn't expecting much. The producer, Mike Todd, who walked out after the first act during the show's New Haven tryout, had returned to New York to wisecrack, no legs, no jokes, no chance. But Mike Todd was wrong. Instead, Samuel Johnson, as usual, had proved to be right, and the prospect of being hanged, at least professionally, had concentrated minds wonderfully. The next day, the reviews were nearly unanimous raves, and Mike Todd was hastily denying he had ever badmouthed the show. The police had to be summoned to cope with a near riot at the box office. Oklahoma won a special Pulitzer Prize. By the time it closed half a decade later, Oklahoma had run more than three times as long as any book musical in history. Its investors earned $33 in return for each one they had risked. And the following 17 years are still remembered on Broadway as the Rodgers and Hammerstein era. The show that had had no chance became the most important musical in Broadway history. That from the essay, Oklahoma, It Opened 50 Years Ago and Changed Broadway Forever, by John Steele Gordon in American Heritage in 1993. In 1981, the Music Box Dinner Playhouse opened its doors and chose Oklahoma as its very first production. Having just celebrated its 35th anniversary, Music Box opens its new season the very same way, with Oklahoma. The shows continue this weekend and next at the Playhouse in Sawyersville, across the river from Wilkes-Barre. We had a visit from Dan Pittman, who is director and choreographer, Jonathan Voitko, who plays Will Parker, and Maureen Hozampa, who is Ado Annie. And Dan Pittman began by reminding us of the musical's importance.
What's so great about Oklahoma is, for its time, it was completely ahead of the game. It wasn't just a hunky-dory, happy-go-lucky musical. There's moments of grief, there's moments of anger. So it kind of expresses a whole human emotion rather than, oh, we're going to sing and dance for you now, with still some of that fun atmosphere in there. And my cast is great. They really embody their characters. They make it fun for everyone.
And why did you say, I'm coming out for this one?
Well, the character that I'm playing, which is Ado Annie, she has basically always been on my list of characters that I've wanted to play since probably about halfway through high school. So it was one of those things. I was sitting there and I was kind of enjoying my break from theater, which is weird because it's basically my life. But the more I thought about it, I was like, when's it going to come around again? So this, I thought, was my chance, and I gave the audition my best shot, and thankfully.
What do you love? What draws you to Ado Annie?
She's just so much fun. Like, there's nothing really that serious about her. She likes to have a good time, run around with all of the men in town, and she's just a lot of fun, high energy, spunky.
And John, the question remains for you too, because we know you are involved with many different theater companies and you could have a choice too, like all of you could.
Well, I guess I really like classical theater, classical musical theater a lot, and Oklahoma is that rubric for all classical musical theater shows were written. So I was really excited about the opportunity when Music Box put it up. I have a very good relationship with the Music Box, so that was another reason why I wanted to work there, working on this production. I liked the role of Will Parker as well. He was a really fun guy. I love the songs he sings. I love the moments on stage that he's able to do. And it was a challenge too. Well, you know, Will Parker in his song Kansas City has some intricate dance steps, and I can move, but I wouldn't necessarily call myself a dancer. So it was definitely a challenge that I was willing to accept, and Dan has helped me along the way, but I've had a lot of fun.
And Dan, you are choreographing as well, so that can help consolidate your vision, actually. if you're directing and choreographing, it sort of brings your whole sense of the piece together.
Yes, I've been very involved in this show. As a choreographer, you don't have to do as much. You make the dance number, you make the picture pretty, but you have to think of the overall arc when you're choreographing and directing. And we have everything in the show. We have square dancing, we have soft shoe, we have ballet. There's something for everyone to enjoy watching them challenge themselves and really bring the show to life.
You talked at the start about how Oklahoma was so distinctive. What about some of the dance? For example, the ballet sequence.
So the ballet sequence is the end of Act One, and it is a dream that Lori's having. She falls asleep and she's imagining what she wants in life and what makes her happy. And then things kind of go awry in the middle of her dream, and she is faced to make some choices. And it's either her happiness or her love, so she needs to decide how to balance that out. And it starts with Lori searching for how she sees herself and picking her dream Lori, because we have a student at a local studio, and she is portraying dream Lori, and she is pretty much telling the story of how happy she is, and then she meets dream Curly, and they fall in love, and they go to get married, and it tells the story of their love and what makes her happy.
And of course, there's glorious music there. Is there an Ado Annie song that you just relish, or that wasn't one of the ones that you were particularly engaged with, but you've come to?
Absolutely. So Ado Annie is basically featured primarily in two songs. I Can't Say No, which is like her big one that everybody knows, but then she's in All or Nothing, which is actually a duet with Will. And it's one of the songs that I wasn't that familiar with when I got the part, and I heard it, and at first I was a little intimidated by it because I didn't know it. Like, I Can't Say No, I've performed that I don't know how many times in recitals and things like that, but I've actually come to find that I like that song a lot more than I Can't Say No, and it's just a lot of fun, and John and I think we just have a really good time on stage with it too.
Is that your experience? Did you know that song, John Gordon?
No, as well. I knew it, but I wasn't as comfortable with it as I was with Kansas City, which I knew because of as I said, the dance break in that. But Maureen and I have a really good chemistry on stage together. We've played opposite each other before, so that was able to have some fun with that, with some great blocking from Dan. We're able to put some really funny bits in there. And of course, you know, the wonderful lyrics also lead to such fun on stage, so I enjoyed it.
And you all are working in a theater space that is intimate, and so what are you finding about working in this space?
I think it's the perfect show for the space, actually, because the relationships between the people and how they relate to each other, it's not on a stage that's a mile long. It's right in your face, and you're forced to pay attention to it. And you're forced to watch people fight, and people cry, and people hurt, and then people love. So it's really good balance, and sometimes it can be a little intimidating when someone's literally right there in your face, but I feel like, especially when you have two leads who are towers and super tall and taller than you. But it's a lot of fun and you can really get involved. It's a community show. Oklahoma is about the community of Oklahoma before it becomes a state. So being that close and up front, you're forced to join that community, whether you like it or not. So,
John, you suggested that many of you are wearing many hats in this and you have an expertise in lighting. How did you conceive of the lighting design for this show?
Well, looking back, I'm familiar with the production. Of course, I've seen it before, and that definitely helps. But in addition to some of the past experiences I've had with it, I also look at the set design of the show, and I work alongside the Music Box's technical director, Michael Gallagher, to really make sure that our colors are the same, our color schemes work. You know, we work with the costumer to make sure that everybody's on the same page and figures out the best way to tell the story from the technical roots. So I try to keep it as realistic as possible, except for the dream, which I go super fantastical for, is what I try to do. And that one is just such a extreme to the rest of the show, and that's the way I wanted to convey it. So rather than going with a lot of ambers and blues in the regular scenes, I'm going with like a lot of pinks and reds, things that you wouldn't normally see on an everyday basis. That's in like the dream sequence. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a challenge, but it's been a lot of fun to try to figure that out and work it all together.
And again, that plays into your vision as director and choreographer and makes it of a piece.
Yeah, the opening of the show starts at the crack of dawn when Curly walks in and sings, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." And with the lighting, it starts as if the sun is rising. So it goes through your whole day and goes from sunrise to sunset. And then you see what happens in a normal day.
to bring it back to where we started, the sense that this is a musical that is a landmark, does it feel dated to you in 2017? Does it speak to us now?
The underlying theme of love can always speak to anyone all of the time. Yes, the costumes are kind of a little out there for what we wear nowadays, especially for our younger girls, because they're not used to wearing things down to the ground and petticoats and pinafores. And I learned what a pinafore was because of this. But the music is still catchy and fun. A lot of the songs I knew before I knew the musical. So it's still something everyone can relate to, because out of our four leads, you'll find someone you can relate to, whether it's the quirky Annie, the charming yet funny Will, or you as a who's headstrong and knows what she wants, or Curly, who just wants to fall in love with her. You'll find someone to relate to in the show.
Each character has, you know, their own archetype in it. And I think that that really helps with the relatability, as what Dan was saying. But also, they're all individual, they're all unique, and they're all different than any other character you're also going to see. It's the fundamental archetype, but then there's the uniqueness in it. And I think you could see that in all four of the leads, and Judd Fry, who's one of the antagonists, and you see that in Ann Eller. They each have their own unique personality in the show, but they're all founded in stock characters that we see in every other show that we've seen.
Were you shaking your head? Yes, that it still speaks to us today.
I think so. I come from, not really, I wouldn't say generation, because John's younger than me and he loves the classics. I'm more of a modern musical person, but Oklahoma has always been one of those classics that drew me in, that I just kind of feel like it's timeless. And yes, you know, the language is very, very different from what we're used to, and the costumes and everything like that. But the themes are all real, and they're the same type of people that you meet today.
I think when it was written as a period piece. You know, it wasn't written back in, you know, the early 1900s when it was set. It was written, and I think it opened in 1943. So I think having that already aspect of a period piece helps its lasting power. I think when a show is written to be set in modern times, 30 years later, it's not going to translate as well. And I think that's why Oklahoma stays consistent throughout.
Tell us the particulars about how we can see this show.
So the show runs until March 5th, with Friday and Saturday shows starting at 8 and the dinner starts at 6:30. Sunday shows start at 3 and the dinner starts at 1:30. You can get tickets by calling 570-283-2195. And I think the thing that makes even the theater different than most of the theaters in the area is you get dinner before. So you want to plan your night, you can go have a really good meal and then see a really good show. We have a cast of 25 people who are dedicated, all ages from 14 to 76 are in the show, and they really just bring it to life, and it makes it a lot of fun.
Flowers on the prairie where the June bugs zoom.
Plenty of air and plenty of room. Plenty of room to swing a rope.
Plenty of heart and plenty of hope.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Dan Pittman, director and choreographer, Maureen Hozampa, Ado Annie, and Jonathan Voico, Will Parker. The musical will be presented by the Music Box Players, Oklahoma, the 2017 season opener, and it's at the Music Box Dinner Playhouse, 196 Hughes Street in Swoyersville, tonight and the 25th and 26th of February, so this weekend, and next March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. with dinner served 90 minutes before. Sundays at 3, there will be a meal served 90 minutes before the matinee as well. There are show-only tickets as well. For more information on the web, musicbox.org, musicbox.org, or the phone number, area code 570-283-2195, 283-2195, area code 570. The Music Box Players presenting the 2017 season opener, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma, at the Music Box Dinner Playhouse, 196 Hughes Street in Swoyersville, across the river from Wilkes-Barre. Performance dates 24th, 25th, and 26th of February, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., with a meal served 90 minutes before each of the performances, Sunday matinees at 3. There are show-only tickets available. Musicbox.org, musicbox.org.
Oklahoma, 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 Oklahoma.
We don't wear